At that time there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Normally on a feast of Our Lady, I find myself preaching about the same old thing over and over, and that is devotion to Our Lady. After all, St. Alphonsus tells us, of Mary there can never be enough. Today, though, I will not speak of devotion to Our Lady, but rather in today's Gospel, the first verse, and the verse that I quoted just at the beginning of this sermon, we read, at that time there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. This reminds me of the cross in the Gospel, reminds me of the sacrifice of the Mass. So today I will not speak of devotion to Mary, but a certain devotion of Mary. Now, you might think this strange, how what I'm going to speak about today can be a devotion of Mary. I mean, her assistance at Mass daily. But when you stop and think about it, of course, Our Lady must have been devoted to the Mass, and she must have assisted at it quite often. After all, she is the Mother of God, and her one love was to be at the foot of the cross with our Lord. And besides that, she lived with an apostle, with a bishop and a priest. Because at the end of the Gospel of today's Mass, we hear our Lord saying, as he is hanging on the cross, about to expire, he says, "Woman, behold thy son," the son being St. John. And then he says to his disciple, "Behold thy mother." And it says, from that hour forth, this disciple, this chaste and pure and angelic disciple whom Jesus loved, took her into his home from that point on. And being a bishop and being a priest, certainly he offered Mass daily in his home for the edification and for the spiritual benefit of the Mother of God. And so Our Lady, knowing with the special light that she had, a light of understanding, was able to realize the value, the importance of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. She knew that it was the same sacrifice as that of Mount Calvary. The only difference being, as even we know in our from our catechism, that the one sacrifice on Calvary was bloody. And our Lord died in a physical way. But on the Mass, in the Mass, our Lord dies not physically. His body can never be separated physically from his blood anymore, because he died once, he can never die again. He dies in the Mass, not physically, but mystically, and he is sacrificed in an unbloody manner. And Our Lady knew all of that by her faith and by the special light that was granted her since she was the Mother of God. And so Our Lady was devoted to the Mass. She loved the Mass above all other devotions. And it is said that, as I was reading through a book the other day, preparing my sermon, I read that she went to Mass daily, but with great sacrifice on her part. Have you ever thought of it? You know how we all learn from catechism that whatever our Lord suffered on Mount Calvary physically, Our Lady suffered in her heart. So when he was scourged and his skin, his sacred flesh, dangled from his bones, where Our Lady's heart was rent in two. And when our Lord's hands and feet were pierced, well, you can imagine a large dagger going into the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Mother and all of the rest. She suffered in spirit and in her heart what our Lord suffered physically. Well, the Mass is no different, is it? It's no different from the sacrifice of Calvary. And so every time that Our Lady assisted at Mass, she had to endure all over again those same sufferings that she endured on Calvary. Think of that. She assisted at Mass daily, from the first Mass all the way until the end of her life. She assisted at Mass daily and endured daily those same sufferings that she endured on Mount Calvary. What sacrifice she endured for to assist at the Mass, which is so pleasing to our Lord. Let that be an encouragement to all of you who have to every Sunday make a long trip, perhaps, to get to Mass, or have to make some other sacrifice to get here, and all of you who have to make the sacrifices to daily at Mass fight the distractions that want to find their way into your mind and all of the rest. Well, those are all sacrifices. Offer them up to our Lord in union with those sufferings of Our Lady, and let it be a source of encouragement. I wish today by this sermon, obviously, and just to be blunt, to cultivate in your souls, as well as in mine, a more fervent love for the Mass. I mean, an undying, an unending love and devotion for this holy sacrifice of the Mass. But we should always remember this. The love for the Mass is a grace. It is not something that we can have naturally, at least if we wish to profit by it. We must have it supernaturally. And being that it's a grace, we must always seek it from God. We must pray for it. And we must always pray. Remember that we receive graces only through the intercession of Our Lady. Every grace that we have ever received or ever will receive comes to us from God through Mary. That's the way that God planned it. And if we wish to have a great love for the Mass, then we must seek it through Our Lady's intercession. And I wish today to stop speaking in this sermon. From now on, I will let the saints do all of the speaking. And I have chosen quite a few quotes that the saints have said or written down in their writings concerning the Mass. Think of them, meditate on them, contemplate, pray over them, and pray for a greater love for the Mass. Padre Pio says, if we only knew how God regards this sacrifice of the Mass, then we would even risk our lives to be present at a single Mass. The Curé of Ars says, if we really understood the Mass, we would die of joy. And again, later on, he says, all the good works in the world are not equal to the holy sacrifice of the Mass because they are the works of men. But, he says, the Mass is the work of God. Even martyrdom is nothing in comparison, for it is but the sacrifice of man to God. But the Mass, it is the sacrifice of God for man. The Mass, furthermore, is so important and so marvelous a thing that St. Augustine, the great doctor of the Church, says the angels surround and help the priest when he is celebrating Mass. So even heaven comes down to earth to be present at this sacrifice of the altar. St. John Chrysostom, who is known as the Golden Tongue for his beautiful sermons and his great writings, for he is a doctor of the Church, he says, when Mass is being celebrated, the sanctuary is filled with countless angels who adore the divine victim immolated on the altar. Let that be a source of edification for all of you in the pews, to know that the angels are all here. But more importantly, let it be a source of edification and help to all of our altar boys, whether in the pews or serving at this very Mass. Remember that they are in the sanctuary with all of these hundreds and thousands of angels of God, and they are helping you and the servers and me to assist at Mass reverently. St. Alphonsus Liguori quotes St. Bonaventure as saying that in the Mass, God manifests, that is, he shows to us all the love that he has borne us, and includes in it, as in a compendium, all of his benefits. Now note this next part. It is so applicable to our own day and age. He says, on this account, because of all of these benefits, the devil has always endeavored to abolish the Mass throughout the world by means of heretics, making them the precursors of Antichrist, who before all things will endeavor to abolish, and in fact will, in the punishment of the sins of men, succeed in abolishing the holy sacrifice of the altar, according to that prediction of Daniel in the Old Testament, and strength was given him against the continual sacrifice because of sins. If that doesn't bespeak what the Novus Ordo has done to the Mass, I don't know what does. You see, I quote this of St. Alphonsus because we know that whatever the devil hates must be good. And the more the devil hates it, the better that thing must be. Now, the devil hates, above all other things, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, because through it, so many graces are showered down upon the human race. And the devil knows that the Mass does so much good for even for souls in general, but more importantly, souls in particular. That is, your soul and your soul, my soul, does so much good. The first thing that the devil will ever try to destroy is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And let us always be mindful of that. And let us pray that his work be not successful. St. Bonaventure says, in each Mass, Christ gives a benefit not less than that which he gave when he took flesh to himself. He continues, if Jesus Christ had never appeared in the world, well, a priest, by pronouncing the words of consecration at Mass, would bring him down from heaven upon the earth. St. Alphonsus again quotes, he writes in a book of meditations for priests, he says the following, and this one, in my opinion, is the best quote of all on the Mass, for everything is explained in it. He says, in every Mass, the work of redemption is renewed. So much so, he says, that if Jesus Christ had not died once upon the cross, the celebration of one Mass, would procure for the world the very same blessings which we have received from the death of our Redeemer on the cross, so that all the merits of the Passion are applied to men by means of the sacrifice of the altar, and more abundantly to the priests who offer it. It's a beautiful quote and something really to think about the next time you think of skipping Mass on a Sunday, or when you think, well, I really ought to go to Mass during the day, but I just can't get out of bed. Think of that quote. Again, to quote St. Alphonsus, in the Holy Mass, God is honored just as much as he deserves to be honored, since the same infinite honor is paid to him again that Jesus Christ paid to him when he sacrificed himself upon the cross. One single Mass, he continues, gives more honor to God than have or ever will give all the prayers and the penances of the saints, the labors of the apostles, all the torments of the martyrs, and all the burning love of the seraphim, and even of the Divine Mother herself. When you think of it that way, that says a lot too, because think of it, the Kyrie of Ars, all the penances that he did. He lived on rotten potatoes and spent 16 or 18 hours a day in the confessional to absolve sinners of their sins. You think of the many sacrifices of the apostles, St. Thomas the Apostle, who traveled all the way to the Americas to bring the gospel, and what sacrifices he made when he was here, or the Jesuit martyrs of North America who endured so much, or any of the other saints. You can think of them, your favorite saints, the martyrs, what they endured. None of those sufferings and those sacrifices are worth as much as one single Mass. And this, I remind you, is the honor which is paid to God in the Mass offered here this very morning, the Mass that you're all assisting at. All of this that I have just said is going on as we speak. In this Mass, this very Mass, the angels surround all of our altar boys, helping them to ring the bell at the right time and to carry their candles with dignity, the thurifer to bring his coals nice and hot for the glory of God, and the MC to do his duties as well. The angels are surrounding them. And this Mass too, the holy angels invisibly wrap their wings around the priest who struggles to offer this Mass with due devotion and to pronounce the words of consecration with great fervor. In this Mass, too, all of the saints are on their thrones in heaven, looking down upon us, praying that we all benefit from this Mass. And at this very Mass, all the merits of our Lord's death on the cross, well, it flows down from heaven, right on our altar, and from the altar, it flows into your souls, to all of our souls. And some of us will receive all of these graces, just as the good thief on the cross, and we will repent, and we will become saints, and others, God forbid, will receive it as the impenitent thief, and despite all the graces offered, will lose all of these benefits. The Mass, my dear faithful, is most important. It is the most important thing in this world. So much so, St. Thomas Aquinas says, the earth could more easily exist without the sun than it could without the Mass. So many saints tell us, if it weren't for the Mass, God would have destroyed the world long ago because of sin. The lesson in this sermon is easy. Come to Mass. Make the extra sacrifices and the extra efforts to come to Mass. All of you, myself included, we all have such great graces here at St. Gertrude's. Where else do you find in the world a place that will have 2, 3, sometimes even 4 Masses per day? Most places are lucky to get 1 Mass a week. And yet, 4 Masses sometimes per day. And yet the pews are empty. The sanctuary has only 1 person, and that is the priest himself, for no one will even come to serve Mass. How sad it is that we lose all of these blessings and all of these graces simply because we're too lazy to get out of bed, or we just simply don't understand the greatness of the Mass. But what graces you all have here, make use of them, won't you? I wish to give one last thought concerning assistance at Mass, and yet another motivation to come to Mass. And that concerns the moment of death. St. Gertrude the Great tells us that our Lord appeared to her once and said, for each Mass that we hear with devotion, our Lord will send a saint to comfort us at the moment of death. It's a nice thought. You think of all the Masses you've been to, well, our Lord will keep His promise and will send just that many saints to be with you at your moment of death, and they will help you to die a good death. But then think of it on the other side too. Think of all the Masses neglected, of all the saints that you could have had at your deathbed. And let us resolve from this moment forward to gain as many saints for our deathbed as we can by assistance at daily Mass. And resolve that if you're only the type that that comes on Sunday, or maybe it's through necessity, try to get here, though, at least once in a while, at one extra Mass during the week. And if you're already coming to daily Mass, well, then resolve to assist at Mass with greater devotion, with greater reverence and love and greater attention. May Our Lady's Immaculate Heart obtain for us all a greater love for Holy Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.